Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Southeast City Church podcast. My name is David Hood, and I help give pastoral leadership to Southeast City Church. And we are a church plant taking root in Ottawa's Alta Vista neighborhood, and we exist to see our neighborhood in particular, but really our city as a whole, saturated with the love, good news, and hope of Jesus for life transformation and cultural renewal. In an age full of very complex issues, we still believe that Jesus is the answer to all of our questions, the solution to all of our problems, and the satisfaction of all of our deepest longings and desires. What, or rather who, we need more than anything is Jesus. We need to trust Him, give our lives to Him, and follow Him. And that is what our church is all about, helping people discover, know, trust, and follow Jesus. We gather together every Sunday to sing about who Jesus is and what He's done, to hear from Jesus through formative teaching, respond to Jesus through reflection, confession, and prayer, and celebrate Jesus through communion, and just to be together, because none of us can do this alone. We need each other. We also scatter throughout the week into family gatherings in people's homes for mutual learning around Scripture and deep prayer for our church, city, and world, into going deeper groups, which are small, same-gender groups that meet at different times, in different places for vulnerability, encouragement, accountability, and prayer, into discipleship groups for youth and young adults, and into various outreaches to people in our area that are experiencing food insecurity, poverty, trauma, addictions, mental illness, loneliness, and isolation. We long to see God's kingdom come, and His will be done in our city, as it is in heaven. What you are about to listen to is a recording of our teaching from this past Sunday. I hope that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that this teaching would speak to you and help you. I also hope that you'll go to our website, southeastcitychurch.ca. On our website, you can learn more about our church and listen to past teachings and powerful testimonials from people in our church about how Jesus has made the difference in their lives. If you feel led, you can give to what God is doing through our church in our nation's capital. But most importantly, you can reach out to us through our contact page and request connection and prayer. Somebody will respond. Lastly, we would love to have you join us sometime on a Sunday. We meet every Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Martin Luther Church, 933 Smythe Road, unless otherwise stated on our socials and website. You don't have to believe what we believe or know exactly what you believe to be with us. We welcome questions, the messiness of life, and the journey. There is a place for you at our table. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kirsten Ewer. So today, David asked me to talk about what God has taught me through science. So I'm going to give you a little background of my journey through going into science, and then how my journey through faith has worked together through being in science. I'm also going to talk about three different things that I feel are particularly important to the maturation of my faith that have come from me studying science, making that my career. What is this not going to be? It's not going to be a full description of all the things that I've learned through science and faith. You'll be here for 2 or 3 hours. It'll be a very long talk. It's not going to be an apologetic for why faith and science work together, or why faith is superior to science, or why science is superior to faith. None of that. It's exactly what I said it would be. So let me first start off by giving you a little description of my background. So how did I get in science in the first place? So when I was a kid, I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian family. I was raised in the church. My parents are Christians. Actually, everyone in my family is still in the church. And it was a good childhood. I learned a lot about the Bible. I believed from a very young age that Jesus was my Savior. I accepted in my heart at a very young age. But what the community that I was being raised in was a very, very fundamentalist culture. And it was in a small town in a small state in the middle of the United States, which did not have a great deal of respect for education or for science. So science was described as an enemy. people in science were described as atheists, people who are trying to destroy faith, who are trying to keep people from faith, who are trying to drive God out of the public sphere. And things like evolution and vaccines and stem cells were seen as these monstrous, unethical things that only someone from a godless heathen science could come up with. So I'm being raised in that community, but at the same time, I realize that I personally really, really like science. It's really fun. I love learning about like the Human Genome Project had just come out of that time. I loved reading about genetic disorders, about how our bodies are built through the functions of our DNA. I was fascinated by how our brains work. These are all areas that I was really interested in. So I wanted to go do science, but I also wanted to stay a Christian and stay in the faith. And so the way I try to make these two disparate things come together is I decided, well, I will use science as my mission field. I'm going to go out into all the scientists and I'm going to bring them the light of the gospel and I'm going to change science. It's going to be better. We're going to throw away all this other stuff that's not Christian and I'm going to save science for God. I was annoying. I admit this freely, but that's where 16, 17-year-old me was. So I decided to go to a Christian college in Tennessee called Union University. It's a great college. Got there, got ready to hear about how I was going to learn all the truth of science and how, you know, all this stuff like evolution's not real. And I sit down and I open my first textbook to my introductory biology class and I open it to the chapter on all the evidence for evolution and how it underpins all of science and what we know about most of our biology. And my jaw hit the floor because why is this being taught in a Christian college? Good Lord, this is supposed to be atheist. So I started talking to my professors. And what I learned over the 4 years at Union is that things like evolution, things like science, they work together with faith. Science is not intended to answer questions of faith. It cannot answer whether there is a God or not. That is not the purpose of science. Science and faith work together beautifully. They support each other. They grow each other. And it put me in a really good foundation to go out not as this enterprising missionary into the mission field of science, but as a scientist and a Christian. So I went on to do my graduate work in Texas and my postdoc. So that was about a 10-year period. And what a graduate and postdoc education is where you actually learn to be a scientist. So you learn how to develop experiments, you learn how to analyze data, you learn how to ask good questions and how to answer those questions. And so I'm using all of these different techniques. I was working in neuroscience and I just began to really see the beauty of science and just the remarkable, miraculous fact of our existence at all. I learned that there's so many ways in the universe that we could just be wiped out of existence. There's so many things that can go wrong in the development of a human being that it's amazing any of us ever are born at all. Psalm 19, 1 through 4 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Now, the psalmist is talking there about the glory and the majesty of the heavens, of the skies. And I saw that, but I also saw the glory of God under a microscope. I saw the majesty of his plan in a series of A's, G's, C's, and T's on a computer screen. I could be amazed at his glory, at his wisdom, at the beauty of his nature, with a couple of weird bands on a gel. It was extraordinary. It is an extraordinary experience. And at the same time, I was going to excellent churches that were teaching me deep into the word, showing me what to believe, how to think about my faith. So at the same time I'm learning how to think about science, I'm learning how to think about my faith. So I found the glory of God within science, the splendor and the technical virtuosity of his creation put on display beautifully in my career in science. And today, now that I'm out of my education, I work now to assist other scientists in their projects. So people bring me their projects They ask for help in setting up experiments for them to run, and I help them run it and analyze the data from it. When the psalmist talks about how the knowledge of the glory of God from the heavens goes out, there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. It goes all over the earth. This is incredibly true because I meet so many people from around the world, people who are scientists and excellent scientists who are also Christians and who see the exact same thing I see. I had a Bible study with a few other postdocs who were two Chinese believers who were wonderful people and exceptionally good scientists. I found when I went into a lab a remarkable lack of persecution for my faith. These were not a bunch of atheists. These were not a bunch of God haters. They were often genuinely believing people, other Christians who love science and loved God, and didn't believe that there was any problem with the two. And it was a complete radical departure from what I'd been told when I was growing up. So there's three things that I feel have been particularly well illustrated throughout my career that I think that God is really teaching me through being a scientist that have been really important to my faith and how my faith has matured. So the first is God's omnipotence and his omniscience. So if you have not had those two terms drilled into your brain from childhood, omnipotence is God's all-powerfulness. He is the most powerful being in existence. All things happen according to his power. There's nothing beyond his power that exists. And his omniscience means that he is all-knowing. He knows everything. All things happen according to his plan. He is aware. Nothing escapes his knowledge. Nothing is a surprise to God. Those are particularly clear to me just looking at nature. As I mentioned, the fact that we exist at all is miraculous. The number of things that can go wrong, the number of things that could have gone wrong at any time in history, there's the fact that we exist is an infinitesimal possibility, and yet here we are. God is the one who created the processes, the scientific laws that govern our existence. He was the one who directed our evolution from the point where we are single-celled organisms to the point where we are humans who can exist and who can commune with him, who can love him and who he can love, who can worship him, and who can experience his glory. That has been God's plan through the entirety of the existence of the universe. There was a lecture in my graduate school that really brought this home to me. This is the only science-y thing I'm going to talk about, and I'll try to make it simple. So it was a lecture on the law of entropy and on protein folding. So what do those things mean? The law of entropy is a basic law of physics. It's the idea that disorder increases in a system. So in the universe, there's constantly always increasing disorder. So order, obviously, order. Lack of order is disorder. So proteins are made up of these long chains of what are called amino acids. So they're just like a long string. But for a protein to function, the protein has to fold. And if the protein doesn't fold, it doesn't function. So you don't get the thing it's supposed to be doing. And if you don't get the thing that it's supposed to be doing, very often, you are dead. So it's really, really important that your proteins fold. But when proteins fold, they are forming an orderly structure, which seems to be the opposite of what the law of entropy says. That shouldn't happen. It should be an increasing disorder, right? What this professor taught me, pointed out, is that proteins are found in a solution, in water. You never just get a protein on its own, because that doesn't function. It's always in some solution, which is usually water. So when a protein is unfolded, this is the long string, there are water molecules that line up in an orderly pattern all around that string. And then when the protein folds, there are water molecules, but there's much fewer of them that are in that orderly pattern, while all those other water molecules that were surrounding it have gone off into disorder. They're now bumping around in the solution, doing whatever they want. So when a protein folds, you think it's actually becoming more ordered, but it's actually increasing disorder because all those water molecules pop off and you have a protein that works. A simple, beautiful fundamental law of physics explains one of the most important components of our bodies. That is beautiful. That is an act of extraordinary power. To take something that should be destructive and use it to create the thing that lets us exist at all. Blew my mind. Amazing. It's just I find it gorgeous. I hope someone else does. So things like that, and that's just one example, but things like that have just continued to convince me of just God's incredible power, his incredible all-knowing being, that nothing is outside him. The things I see in science, they are of God. That is amazing to me. The second thing that really sticks out to me is the concept of God's providence. So I'm going to plagiarize from John Piper here. He defined providence as the act of providing for or sustaining and governing the universe by God. So all things that happen are in existence, are provided for, continue on, are governed by God. It ties nicely into his omniscience and omnipotence. Paul says in Acts 17:28, "For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being." And this is incredibly true when you look at science too. Like I mentioned before, the number of things that can go wrong just in human embryonic development is incredible. The number of forces in the universe that something could happen and it could wipe us from existence completely is terrifying. And yet here we are. 20% of human pregnancies end in miscarriage. And yet, here you are. That is an act of God. That is an act of God's providence. The number of things that could have gone wrong to prevent you from ever existing, and yet, here you are. What a good and glorious and all-powerful and provident God we have. I've seen in my work what happens when a single genetic mutation happens and what can happen to the human after that. What happens to the human brain after that. The fact that we are functional at all never ceases to amaze me. And the third thing, and I think the most important thing, and the hardest thing to learn, is humility and a willingness to be able to sit with the unknown. So in science, there are many, many things, many, many questions that I don't know the answer for, and that I will likely never know the answer for. I would love to know how the incredibly complex neural network that is our brains results in my cognition and my ability to produce some form of coherent speech and thought. I'm never going to know that. I doubt my grandchildren will have even begun to scratch the surface. The technology to fully understand that doesn't exist. And that bugs me because I really want to know. But you know, science can't provide all the answers. But importantly, science can't answer the questions of why am I here? What is the point of me? What will happen to me when I die? Why do I die? Is there more than me? Science cannot even begin to answer those questions. It is not designed to answer those questions. You cannot design an experiment to ask a purpose or a why that is outside of physical laws. So if I can't get answers from science, where can I get these answers? Faith. In Hebrews 11:1, the writer says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's a component of faith in science. I will never be able to see with my bare eyes the function of a neuron talking to another neuron. But I can see the data from it. I can see the electrical signals that are produced. I can see the downstream effects of that. So I have faith that my theory of what's happening at the synapse is actually happening. But I'll never be able to see that. I have faith that God loves me, that he is omniscient, that he is omnipotent, that he is provident. I have faith in those things. I am certain of those things. And the great thing is, I hope for them, but I have also seen those parts of God. Faith is how I answer the questions that science can't answer, and faith is what keeps me going. God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to not give us answers to some things. So Romans 11:33-34, the writer of Romans says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor?" God chooses not to give us answers to something. Sometimes he chooses not to give us answers in science. He chooses not to give us answers in life. So the question of, why has this thing in politics happened? Why has this war begun? Why has this terrible thing happened to someone who did not deserve it? I will not have those answers. I probably will not have those answers until I stand before God. And you have to be okay with that. And to be okay with that, you have to turn to faith. Because that is the one thing that you can be sure of, that there is an answer, that there is an explanation, that we have a loving, omniscient, omnipotent, provident God, that he sees us, that he knows us, that he loves us, that he has saved us. That is where you have to have faith. If God chooses to not to reveal something, he has chosen that out of his own divine perfection and his omniscience. He has a reason for it, and we have to be okay with that. And faith is how we are okay with that. Science has made me lean onto my faith, and faith has helped direct me in my science. The two things are not separate. They are not enemies. Science is not anathema to Christ. Christ is not a silly idea to science. Faith took me into science. Science took me back into my faith. They build on each other. I am a more mature Christian than the 15-year-old me, the 16-year-old me, because of science, because of my experience in science, and because how it has helped my faith mature. That 16-year-old kid was terrified. I was scared because I was not sure that God was all-powerful. I was not sure that God was provident. I was not sure that God loved me. I was not sure that I was not going to ruin my life and have God look at me and say, "You're a waste. I never wanted you." Those things terrified me. And they were why I was the way I was. I hope now, many years in the future, that I am slightly less annoying and obnoxious. But I can say for certain I'm a lot less scared, because I know I have an all-powerful God. I know I have a provident God. I know I have a God who loves me. I know I have a God who will keep me and help me continue, and eventually, when it is in his time, will take me home and I will stand in his presence. That is my faith. That is a faith that comes out of my work. The two build together. The person I am today is because of science and because of faith. So I hope this has made sense. I hope this is clear, and that I hope this, what I have to say, helps you. If you are yourself feeling at times very frightened of a very big world, please remember, God loves you. He is here for you. He calls for you. Come, repent, and cast all of those fears onto him, for he is there. I hope you all are doing well.